right, welcome back to another session of the JMJ Missions podcast, and we have a very special guest returning. Actually, he's not a guest, he's still a tri-founder. He is our videographer. It is the one and only Rocco Tarabarelli.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Here I am.
Like Lord. Jesus after Here the resurrection, in the flesh.
Good to be with you both.
Good to have Rock back. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I just said likewise.
Oh, likewise. Okay, yeah. I thought you were like proceeding to say like a sentence.
Nope.
So, you guys all know what we do. We do this. We do talks. We do social media. And we do retreats. And we do all kinds of stuff. So, spread the word. And that would really help us out. You can also support us. Anyway, we're just going to move right on to our stuff in the world. But a little preview of our topic beforehand. Spiritual warfare. A real juicy topic. Yes, go ahead, Ant.
We've done YouTube videos on this. We have a two-part series that Rock has edited very well back in the day.
I can't believe that was 5 years ago already.
Was it? No.
Four.
Yeah,
it was like
2019.
It was 2020.
3.5 or 4 years ago. Yeah, it was 2020.
Yeah. It was like right when COVID started.
Yeah, it was COVID.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Yeah, really?
Because 2019 was our first.
March of like...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was March 2020. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, if you look these old videos up.
Still, that's a long time.
And I will say, that's actually pretty cool that you mentioned that, because when you made those two spiritual warfare videos way back when, those were like some of the first two really, really high quality videos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching the final cut of that thinking, dude, Rock is like taking things to a whole nother level here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever want to.
Yeah, it was kind of a breakthrough.
It was.
For us, especially coming after Why Doesn't God Talk to Me and.
Yeah.
I think we are JMJ Missions, which was good. I thought that was good.
That was pretty good. Yeah, it was good.
But we introduced the Stranger Things kind of concept.
Oh, I love that.
I loved that too. Very creative. And even the little trailer that you made, the teaser, that was really good too. The little chessboard.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's a couple
fun to make.
A couple Easter eggs in the video too, because there's one part where Dan and I are side by side on a split screen, and then I spoke too quickly. I was done my point, so then you froze me on the screen.
Yeah.
But nobody could tell.
Yeah, like, I froze you for maybe a second and a half.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch it, you'll be able to notice it. But it's funny how the edit all came together.
Should that be the Easter egg? Because people comment the Easter egg more and more. Should it be like
frozen?
Frozen what? I can't just say frozen.
Here's the Easter egg should be. Go to our YouTube video. Go to part two, Spiritual Warfare.
That's too much
and
work.
And just leave a comment frozen.
I like them when they just comment it anywhere.
Anywhere? Okay.
That's better.
You know what's so funny is we would watch that and most people probably wouldn't have seen it, but then we would just crack up like as we would stare at your
yeah.
you know, frozen face for like a second and a half. Good
times.
All right,
so frozen Anthony anywhere on anything. That's what you got to comment.
Frozen Anthony.
Yep. There's like five or six people that do this, that do the Easter eggs.
And speaking of spiritual warfare videos, one saint in particular that I got to recommend right off the bat before we even get into our stuff in the world that Anthony's going to give us, which I think Anthony's still thinking of a topic.
No, I know.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah. Well, I was stalling for you. But either way, Saint Gemma Galgani, we just put a new reel out. And I got to say, the Lord works in crazy ways, because this has been one of our most popular reels we've ever put out. It's been reshared a bunch of times, thousands of likes on it. And I didn't expect much at all from this reel. All I did was tell the story of how Saint Gemma reached out to me a bunch of times in 2 days, and you know that's in one of our previous podcasts on St. Gemma. You can go look up that story that I gave. But I just gave a succinct version of that in like maybe 1 minute, and I just expected, you know, a few hundred likes. Whoever's supposed to get something out of it will, and that thing just took off. But you know why? It's because so many people commented on that reel that St. Gemma is making an impact on their life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. I had no idea how many people were having crazy cool experiences asking for her intercession. And we got some hate comments as well.
We did. And that always helps our page too. But it makes me realize how niche like St. Gemma is. But like, imagine like if St. Gemma is your favorite saint, like, and the algorithm shows you that, like, you're going to leave a comment.
Oh yeah.
Cause especially cause she's not like one of the heavy hitters. It's not like it's St. Joseph or something.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like,
what were some of the hate comments?
A lot of like
just the gist of them.
Protestants.
Yeah, a lot of Protestants saying like they can't hear you, they're dead. And then I always say, well, like heaven is eternal life, so they're not dead. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes over in circles.
Just goes back and forth. Yeah.
Sometimes it's fun. There was a dude that commented, I don't think he meant to, but he commented from his not smokehouse. He has like a barbecue shop.
It was a barbecue smokehouse in Wisconsin.
And he commented on it and said all he said was nonsense.
Yeah.
So then like I just wrote back gently. I was like, well, like what makes you say that is what I said. And then I looked up the restaurant, and then Dan and I agreed that if we're ever in Wisconsin, we're gonna go there and just politely order a pulled pork sandwich and like and not mention the Instagram reel.
Yeah, we're gonna kill
just like we'll give them business. Yeah, like, yeah. It's probably great food.
If you are from Wisconsin listening to this, invite us out to your parish. We will hit up that pulled pork place. That's what it's called.
I'm gonna try to find it.
The restaurant that commented nonsense on our video. We we'll politely.
Yeah, we're order. Not mad at them. Don't no, get us
we're
wrong. Not at
all. We're gonna go there and lovingly order some food there just to get just, back at them.
And just look them in the eye and get some cornbread.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. And you know what? Me and Anthony were saying like he probably realized that it wasn't as personal that he accidentally commented from his business page and it just stopped the whole thing. Very funny. All right, Ant, what's your stuff in the world?
Stuff in the world. You're not gonna like it, but I think of this every time of the year. Whenever this time of year rolls around, I get really excited because I always monitor the progress of this. The leaves are back on the trees. And I love that. Yeah. Everything's green.
Everything's green. May's my favorite month.
Uh-huh. And we're almost in May. Like, so I drive on
lush. Everything's
uh-huh. It's no longer green, depressing.
Lively, vibrant, vivacious. Yep. Yeah.
It's the short amount of time that life in New Jersey is like fun to look at.
It is.
Uh-huh. And like you can drive on the highway and you don't just see like dead branches. Mm. You see alive.
That's really depressing.
It's so depressing. And you see really alive trees.
Sad to look at.
It is.
Yeah, I'm learning this stuff the hard way. I was just telling you guys beforehand, before we recorded, as a new homeowner, I am facing the fact that I have to mow the lawn the hard way.
There you go.
Because we had the apartment. And mm-hmm. the cool thing about apartments is that, like, you know, they mow the lawn for you, mm-hmm. right? And now all of a sudden I have, like, a home, and the grass did not grow at all.
No,
and
it doesn't grow in the winter.
I know. But then I didn't realize in the summer, within a week and a half, it was up to my knees and past it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just, man, because, you know, I just always took it for granted when people would mow the lawn. I never had to think about it. And so I bought this kick-butt mower. Like, if a lawnmower could bench press, this thing would be bench pressing 400 like pounds.
I don't know about that.
This lawnmower, I sent you a picture.
You did.
It's jacked. It's an Ego lawnmower. Look it up. It's the best electric lawnmower you could find. This thing is a beast. So I mowed the lawn a little bit today, and it was fun, but it was also really tough because it was so, like, high.
Gives you a sense of pride, too.
Yeah.
Mow the lawn. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, total dad really mode does. Right now. Yeah.
Yep. You need a pair of New Balance sneakers to mow the lawn.
My students literally said the same thing, and I do have a pair of New Balance, but the cool thing about New Balances is there's new ones out that are actually pretty cool looking now, so I have to actually go out of my way to get, like, a white dad pair.
Yeah.
And I probably will, actually. Yeah. I actually wore my Champions to do that because, like, I just have, like, Champion little cheap shoes that I wore, but the New Balance will really make it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, so.
No thoughts about the leaves?
You know, I don't really care.
Well, you don't notice that stuff?
No, I notice it. It's just it's nice, I guess.
Care.
Yeah, thanks.
I do.
Yeah. It means a lot to me.
I do. Yeah, May's my favorite month for a reason.
It's the best.
Really?
And then, wait, I'm not done. And then this doesn't last too long because once like the direct sun, summer heat, everything burns out. Like all the grass is brown. And nobody, like, waters it anymore.
Yeah.
Trees are still green, but the grass is brown. So this is the greenest time of year.
All right. That's real great. Yeah,
cool.
That's nice. we'll take a quick little 10-second intermission, and we'll come back with our topic, which is spiritual warfare, what you can do about it.
All right, so we normally script our podcast a little bit. We write a little bit of notes, you know, jot some things down. We like to see, you know, have some organization. But tonight, Dan showed up about an hour and a half late. Not completely his fault, but I'm just going to blame. Yeah, it was an hour and a half late. So me and Rock have been sitting here.
It was about an hour.
No, it was 7:15 you got here. Oh, well, your dad didn't bring the last part until 8:45.
Yes, but I was there for about 20
So the whole process
first.
Was an hour and, hour and a half late. But Rock and I enjoyed it. We watched the Sixers. We ate some pizza and ate some candy. Literally exactly what we did in that order. So we didn't do any planning of script-wise, but we want to talk about spiritual warfare. And the reason we never talked about it on a podcast is because we have those YouTube videos about it. So I think that's why we always like kind of avoided it. But those YouTube videos were 4 years ago, so we figured it's a good time to podcast about it. And so what is spiritual warfare? In my opinion, spiritual warfare is the battle that happens all around us that we can't see. Angels are real, demons are real, God's real, devil's real. It's all around us, and like they both want our souls. Obviously, God wants our soul out of love. The devil wants our soul out of hatred for God. So then because of that, it's a constant battle. And we experience that through temptations, through promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then we have to like choose our path, which way to go. So let's say you are making moves towards Christ. You do something holier than normal, or you do some spiritual activity that you wouldn't have otherwise done, afterwards, you can almost guarantee that you're going to get a spiritual retaliation.
Yeah, and I just want to comment on one thing you said, which I love, is that for God, it's personal about us, mm-hmm. right? But for the devil, he just hates God, but he can't do anything to God. So his way of getting back at God is by attacking his kids. And God will allow this for us to be able to grow, right? So you're talking about temptations. There's all mm-hmm. kinds of backlashes. I think the devil generally works on everybody. But yeah, I think you're right. When you do something good, when you overcome a sin, when you have a great spiritual experience on a retreat, or you do something of spiritual value, you make a step in the right direction, a big step, the devil will absolutely retaliate. You guys got any stories about that? Anything you want to share?
I have one that I may have shared before. Barak, if you had one, if you want to go
first. I don't have anything specifically. Mm-hmm. Just general experiences that I've struggled with in the past. You guys know about my struggles with scruples. Mm-hmm. You guys know about my, you know, just discouragement here and there.
Yeah. Can you tell like what is scruples and scrupulosity?
It's a hyper attention to every little minute detail of things you're doing wrong or mm-hmm. sins, but blowing it up. And the weight of it could be really heavy for someone. For someone who struggles with OCD, it's a symptom of OCD. I struggle with obsessive compulsive disorder for a lot of my life. And scrupulosity is a symptom of OCD. So it's just a very scrutinous, I guess, attention to morals, mm-hmm. like a hyper attention to morals and that, like blowing things out of proportion.
And I remember that kicked in for you kind of like we had our conversion. And I think you were feeling great. Like you were on cloud nine with God.
Yeah, it happened. All that experience happened probably maybe 8 months to a year after I came off that high.
So that,
you know, it's, you know, really interesting a thought. You guys ever hear the term grace builds on nature?
Yeah, I've heard it.
I feel like God and the devil both piggyback on our good things and bad things and our natural personality. So Rock had that natural inclination to OCD and everybody has something, right? And it's like, for the conversion aspect, it's like Jesus hopped on that and like made Rock obsess over like John Paul II and Benedict and the Sacred Heart and the saints.
Broke good out of it.
It's like redeems it, and then also the devil will also hop on the opposite aspect of it to use it against us. And every single person is like this because we all have our natural inclinations, our natural aspects of our personality, the way we think, the way we feel about things, and the God can either use that and redeem it. Or the devil can hop on and try to make it a negative thing. And for us, it's kind of usually a typical tug of war back and forth. It's usually not one side or the other, depending on how we're doing spiritually, you know?
And Rock was always very cleanly because of his OCD.
You mean clean?
Yeah, well,
so it kind of, I guess.
Cleanly not a word? I think that's a word that we just used to joke around with.
Cleanly's a word.
Is cleanly a word? Cleanliness.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you could be clean and there's cleanliness.
Translating from OCD to that was a hyper attention to cleanliness of my soul. Every little nook and cranny I was kind of dusting off.
Yeah.
And you know, and like just obsessing over every little detail and aspect of my life.
What did you used to do with your Xbox?
I used to dust it with a dust cloth. I used to have a dust cloth on top of it to prevent any dust from falling on top of it. I would just keep it on top of my PlayStation or Xbox. Yeah, it was, you know, I would just constantly, I would always wash my hands every time before I turned on the game system. I would force my friends, guys,
Ryan. I used to hate that.
We all had to wash our hands.
I would force everyone to wash their hands, scrub their hands before they touch my controller. It was just this weird thing, ritual you had to do in my house if you're playing my game system.
That's so funny.
It's just pure OCD. I mean, it stems from OCD.
But it is funny though, because like you said, like you literally put that onto your soul and like wanted your soul to be as clean as your Xbox.
Yeah.
And then
it came, which is good. It came with a lot of, I guess, unhealthy stress, but it ended up being a good thing because it kept me in check. Mm-hmm. It kept me aware of a lot of things and, kept me on track.
Yeah.
And you know, actually, I can think of actually a really interesting little piggyback on there, a segment. Like, it's really actually a good thing to have a spiritual radar. Like, when negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative temptations start to creep in on you, you should, the more you grow in your faith, the more like you become, I would say, more innocent, the more a little like should be going off in your soul every time something like negative, a temptation, a feeling, a bad inspiration, an anger, bitterness, whatever it is, like starts to creep in, something in our soul should kind of like flash a warning sign, you know, okay, pray, get to confession, whatever it is, like stop the bleeding, stop the sinking, you know. Like something, you know, in ship terms, obviously, stop the sinking. So that's actually a really good thing, and that's part of spiritual warfare. If we are in a war, you need radar to know when the enemy is attacking. The problem is most people that don't pray, don't have a spiritual life, they don't have their radar on, so the devil's attacking and messing with them. They may not even realize it, and they may not be realizing how far they're being pulled down without that radar. But having radar is only part of the battle, because then the second part of the battle, once you realize there's an incoming attack, an incoming nasty feeling or temptation, is to fight.
Right, because when the radar does start going off, if you have one, sometimes you don't want to listen to the radar. Sometimes you'd rather just like go in with the sin.
That's true, and that's the big difference between a real battle, spiritual warfare, is when it comes to sin. Like in a real war, it doesn't feel good to let the enemy like you know creep in. But sometimes, if you want to do something bad or it's a temptation, like the devil uses that little like the pleasure to try to, you know what I mean, the whatever rush you get depending on your sin to try to like cause you to not fight it. Exactly. Which is very interesting. It's almost like a covert option, tactic by the devil to try to get in there. And you
it's
know.
Funny because in the YouTube video I say a covert something and then in the outtakes I stop and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm talking about.
It's hilarious.
No one does things at night for good reasons unless you're a Navy SEAL doing a covert operation. And then you just pause, you're like, I don't know what I'm saying right now.
I was just pulling that out of nowhere.
That was not your finest hour. But looking back at those first videos, like I had a lot of non-finest hours myself. So we have Rocco is a great example of how the devil will use your people's natural personalities and natural way they think to try to mess with you. And you have any other stories, maybe just kind of on the more, I'm going to say supernatural side, more direct side?
Not supernatural. One might come to me in a second, but the first time I ever experienced it was on the first retreat I ever went on. I was like, feeling great. Like I went to adoration for the first time in my life. I prayed a rosary on this retreat. We went to mass and I was with other like-minded young Catholics and I had a great time and you guys were there. And then like when I got home, I was just expecting like my family to be like, oh, like how was it? Like tell me about it. What'd you do? And then I got home and like my family was never mean to me like ever in my life. But like there was just like a bunch of really annoying things that happened like back to back.
Yep.
Like nonstop. And then even like with friends too. And like not specifically you guys, but there was just like a culmination of like six or seven and really annoying things that happened right away. And I was just looking forward to like, you know, just like kind of reveling in like the memories of the retreat and relaxing and like just letting that all sink in. And all of a sudden I'm like arguing with people.
You know, that happened to me on one of the first retreats I went on. I had an incredible experience, a prayerful experience. I was like, actually, it was when St. Gemma answered my prayers, or I asked her to help me understand four different aspects of Jesus and his passion and things like that. And then out of nowhere, I had this crazy experience during Mass after I received the Eucharist. I was crying. I mean, tears of joy. It was one of the most intense experiences of my life. And I come home from that retreat. I think it was the second retreat we ever went on. I walk in my house, and my family was over, like my extended family. And you guys have met my extended family. Like they're wonderful, happy, loving people. Like they're always in a good mood. I walked in. Nobody said hi to me. It was tense. They all just looked at me like there was something wrong with me. And people were being like nasty to me for a good hour. I remember I just left the room and just like went down the basement and went by myself because they were being so weird and awkward with me. Almost like the devil like just did not like the fact that I was on this retreat and was trying to mess with me as soon as I got home.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I have experienced it directly, because that was not the first time. The first time was our conversion experiences. I had that first meeting with Father Maz, the wonderful priest at our parish. He told me all about Maria Esperanza. Me and Rock went to confession. And now for the first time in my life, I was really believing in God and I was excited about it. And I had been to confession and I was actually sorry for my sins. Because that first confession, I tried the old dodge the sins routine that I always try. You know, like, not anymore. That used to try.
Currently?
No. When I was a teenager, if I had embarrassing sins, I wouldn't like say the real sins. I would kind of like dodge them and just say something similar but much nicer sounding, and it wouldn't really cover the sin. And I tried that.
Can you give us an example?
I cannot give an example.
I've always wondered that every time I heard you say it.
Yeah, I mean, I stole $10 million, and I just said that I stole $1 million. But no, but in all seriousness, so he pulled those sins out of me for real. Like, it was the first honest confession I'd ever made, fully honest, and I was really forgiven, and I was so excited coming home. I get home, I walk up into my room, I go to take my contacts out, and completely out of nowhere, I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything, I didn't think anything, this nasty, awful rush of horrible feelings just hits me, like, from somewhere else. And I remember, like, my teeth were, like you know, like, grinding. I was so mad, I didn't even know why I was mad. And all these horrible thoughts entered my mind. This priest is lying to you. You know, the miracles he's talking about, they don't happen. This is the laws of physics. Your friends are going to make fun of you. Your family's going to not understand you. They're, you know, you're not a church boy. What do you think you're doing? Don't ever go back. And normally back then, and it's something we have to, but when it comes to having that spiritual radar, me having just had a conversion that night, I didn't have a spiritual radar yet. That's not something I trained myself with. So if I got nasty feelings back then or sad feelings, I didn't fight them. I just let them run my life. So I was about to never go back because that's what these feelings told me to do. But I did something I normally don't do. I said a prayer. I said a Hail Mary. And the second, I mean like the second I finished the Hail Mary, as fast as those feelings came in, they were gone. And I got this really peaceful feeling. But that, I mean, Rock, I don't know if it happened to you, but the first four or five times we met with this priest and learned these stories and I was really starting to believe in the church for real, I would feel great. And then as soon as I got home, I'd walk back in the door and have all these nasty, horrible, angry thoughts about it and and feelings that for no reason that told me not to go back.
I don't have any experiences like you've had. It just came later, like still kind of discouraged, those same discouraging thoughts and feelings.
Okay. Can I tell you something?
Which you were battling then just came kind of at a later time for me.
Can I tell you something you did tell me about back when we, the first few months of our conversion experiences, maybe a month or two after we had those cool experiences, you said you were going to sleep.
Yeah.
And you prayed really hard and you were laying in bed and as you were starting to fall asleep, and I don't mean to scare the listeners.
Yeah.
But you said you felt something grab
your foot. I felt something grab my foot. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said,
not even exaggerating. It literally felt like a strong grip on my foot, like as my feet were under the covers, it felt like just someone gripped my foot. It was really scary.
You were in prayer when that happened? The lights were off.
I had just got done praying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You were just starting to fall asleep, right?
And I was starting to fall asleep, and it was right in the midst of all that was going on in our lives with conversion and with reconciliation to God. And I was just on a high spiritually and just kneeled at the foot of my bed one night and prayed, and then after that got into bed, and then not even 5 minutes later just felt this horrible grip on my foot. It was scary. It scared me.
Yeah.
It was pure blackness in my room, all the lights. I didn't even have a nightlight. It was just really scary.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I really do think that was a supernatural retaliation. I really do, in the sense.
And I think actually that happened right before my lung collapsed.
Really?
Not that same night.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
But I believe it happened within a month or so.
And your lung collapsing, for our listeners, your lung collapsing.
Yeah.
Was providential.
Was really providential because I don't mean to steal your thunder, Rock, or tell you everyone what happened, but just real fast, Rocco said a prayer. You told me later was the hardest prayer you'd ever said in your life, that God would use you as an instrument to get through to Anthony and Ryan, who were not biting on the faith. And then your lung collapsed that night, and that was the catalyst that got Anthony shaken up enough to start praying with other things falling apart in his life. And Ryan, who lost two other people in his life the exact same day, almost lost you, he starts thinking about life and death and heaven and hell. He comes around the parish, and I think he met Father Maz at the hospital too.
Yeah.
So like that was literally the event that needed to happen. It's almost like the devil knew this was coming soon and was trying to get you out of it.
It was a preemptive strike.
Yep. Even before you were to say that prayer, because it was probably like shortly before you said that prayer.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I never knew that. I might even include that in my talks when I give my conversion talk.
You should.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to scare the kids. But yeah.
Our
podcast listeners are a pretty loyal bunch, but I don't know if I was like some random eighth grade and I had...
And again, like that could have been
true. Good point.
A spiritual attack. It could not have been, but the way I felt, what I experienced in that split second, it felt otherworldly.
Yeah, and those emotions were real that you felt from it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, well, guys, like, so how do we approach this? Like, what do we do about these things? Because these things really do happen, you know, And so what do we do when you know that when you know spiritual warfare is real and it can even border the supernatural? Now, the main thing you hear about in movies and in pop culture and gets a lot of clicks on YouTube are exorcisms and things like that. We're going to avoid that because, mm-hmm. you know, usually someone gets demonic obsession, oppression, or possession. Those are typically, not all the time, but typically the three levels of demonic activity that exorcists and theologians will usually describe these situations with. Those kinds of almost constant supernatural interventions from the devil, or I should say like activity, that's usually when someone does something occult, or like you kind of invite a spirit in somehow, or there's a curse or some kind of witchcraft. We're going to avoid that. Right now we're just sticking on the topic of the natural yet almost supernatural, as we're hearing, ways the devil will just attack a normal person or a Christian believer who's persevering. So what do you do about this?
Well, I think, with what happened to Rock, I think that I honestly, it probably was something supernatural and like really trying to shake you up. But also I will say for the regular listener that is rare. It's very, very rare.
It is, yeah.
Like, but thanks be to God, literally that's never happened to me. But also like I know that the devil used to appear to Padre Pio, like literally in the flesh.
Right.
Padre Pio would whip him with his rosary, which is awesome.
St. Gemma too. Yeah. Well, I don't know if she whipped him with a rosary, but he would attack her as well.
Yeah. So like that kind of stuff's probably, you probably don't have to worry about that, but you do have to worry about the attacks before and after you do something religious. Like if you're signed up for a retreat, I can almost guarantee like that morning or something, like you're going to argue with someone.
Right.
Or like if there's something really frustrating is going to happen.
Or as you said, as soon as you get back.
Or as soon as you get back. And sometimes both will happen.
Yeah.
But also like, so I've gotten to the point now where, because I didn't know this my first couple years of the spirituality, but now I'm getting to the point where like I can see it. And like, and if I'm very self-aware. So like if something comes my way that isn't normal or it's like agitating me and it's before something spiritual, like I just know, oh, this is an attack.
Right.
And then I just know like, okay, it's an attack. That's like a backhanded compliment. It means that something good is coming.
Right.
So let me just shake this off, say a quick little prayer, and then like recenter and focus on God and move on.
Yes.
But it takes that willpower, because if you don't do that, then you're just going to get swallowed up by it because you're not strong enough on your own. So you have to like analyze, you have to assess it, analyze it, and like know that it's from devil. And then once you know it's from the devil, it's literally not worth thinking about at all anymore. Because I had a priest tell me once that if someone was going to punch you and they had something inside their hand, whatever it is, like a starburst or whatever, if they're throwing a punch at you, you're just going to dodge the punch. You're not going to be like, wait a minute, like, let me look at your fist and see, like, what were you holding when you were going to punch me? Like, no, you just dodge it. You know, right. You just get it out of the way.
Right.
So you just brush it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's a great tactic when it's something external,
mm-hmm.
when it's a person, an argument, when it's something internal.
Like an internal temptation?
Yeah. Well, sometimes the devil will tempt you, or sometimes, like, he'll try to get you. Like, I remember one time I ran a retreat. Happened actually a couple times. I ran a retreat and all kinds of great things happened with the kids on this retreat. Like conversions happened. And I think, obviously we're not worthy of any of these things, but God used me as an instrument on that retreat, you know, as unworthy as we are. And I got home, I took a nap, and I believe I may have mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I wake up from this nap and I, in the pit of my stomach, again, had horrible, nasty feelings, and they were awful feelings about myself. Everyone's going to make fun of you. What is wrong with you? Get a real job. Stop this youth ministry stuff. You're like, you're not a little, you know, you're like, you're, no one to, your friends think you're nuts. Your family thinks you're nuts, right? And guys, I felt great when I went to go take this nap. I woke up and these feelings were horrible. Like I was ready to cry and they came out of nowhere. So my advice for if it's an internal struggle, an internal push with nasty feelings, anxieties, fears that just kind of came from nowhere, with not really much of a natural explanation, would be prayer, immediate prayer, and to give it over to God. Like, in that moment when I got those feelings, I had to close my eyes and like for a good 10, 15 minutes, I dug real deep and I just kept reminding myself over and over again, okay, God's real. He loves me. It's all good. This is a great retreat, you know, and I had to almost like look into my soul and find the light that was underneath all these nasty feelings that weren't coming from me. You can do that however you want for the listeners, but once you recognize that an attack is ongoing, if it's an internal attack, we have to pray immediately. Jesus, Mary, right? Focus on Jesus on the cross. Think happy thoughts about God, like, you know, whatever crowds it out.
There's a phrase for that. It's called commanding your thoughts to be captive to Christ.
Interesting.
So when you're having those thoughts of like the internal ones, especially about you, like when they didn't come from anywhere, like it's not like someone like called you up and started screaming at you. then like you have to use the willpower to make your thoughts, command your thoughts to go to the foot of the cross. And invite Christ into the thoughts. Otherwise, you're going to get destroyed. And I think Chris Stefanik said this, that your head is like a bad neighborhood, so don't go there alone.
Interesting. It's true. Very true. So do you guys have any other stories to share about these things?
I don't know.
I have one, and I'll tell it briefly because I probably told it in a different podcast. It's probably come up with a different topic, but I'll be brief with it. There was a time when it was actually during COVID. I felt incredibly alone. It was when I lived with you in the apartment, Dan, but you were out somewhere. You're probably with your parents or whatever. The girl that I was dating at the time was like just being distant and like didn't care about me. And then like I was trying to teach through Zoom, and you can't really reach the kids on Zoom. So like I feel like everything I was trying to do, like I was striking out on everything. So I had this just really depressing day, and I didn't pray at all on this day. And it was like 7 o'clock at night. And I knew, like, I was distracting myself. I was playing games. I was on my phone. I was playing probably your old Xbox that used to be in the apartment. And then all day I felt pray. And I just kept saying no. And then I finally, like, mustered up the courage. And I got down on my knees and I looked at a picture called Christ the Teacher. And I, like, I poured my heart out to him. I didn't want to at all. It took, like, all the energy in the world. And I told him exactly the situation. And then I told him, I was like, I feel like I don't matter. I feel like I'm alone. And I said it again, like, I don't matter. And then I paused, and then he said, I died for you. And it just brought me all like the comfort and the solace. And I was like, everything that I was feeling was gone. I didn't feel alone. I didn't feel like I was worthless. And I don't think it came from me because it was very like succinct and quick. And also I didn't hear it audibly. Like I don't hear God audibly, like out loud, but I felt it like in my heart.
Internal. Yeah. And you know, I gotta, you know, compare that. We'll really contrast that with the idea that, of course, everyone listening to this podcast, 70% of the people in the world who are Christian, 70% of Americans, 65% are Christians, right? If you ask them, did Jesus die for you? They all say yes. And you knew that in your mind already, but you weren't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you have to do for it to really, like, you know, for you to encounter in your heart and be reminded of it deeply? You had to pray. If you just kept ignoring the idea to pray the rest of the day,
I would have felt no better.
Yeah, it's a thought in your mind, but it doesn't actually
end up like action was required of you, you know?
Right, to get that peace.
Yeah.
And the action I wanted was just to play more video games to like kind of not think about it.
Oh, that's like what everyone does. I think scrolling and people just scroll. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta man up and like just face it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, this has been a fantastic discussion. Do you guys have any last tips, any last thoughts before we get to the devotional cup?
No.
All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll come right back to it in just a minute. Okay, we're about to shake the good old devotional cup, and Anthony is shaking it. You may be able to hear it. Rocco is gonna pick. All right, Rock, what you got?
All right. The Rosary.
Oh. Wow.
Fancy.
Perfect.
Very nice.
Perfect devotion for this.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump right in on this one.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, I feel like if you're tempted to do whatever sin it might be, if you stop in your tracks and you pray the rosary, like game over.
Yeah.
Like that sin ain't happening.
Yeah.
Now, when you're tempted with any kind of sin, any kind of sin, and you're tempted, the last thing you're going to want to do is pray the rosary. But
it's
I will
hard.
Tell you,
it's very,
that's
very
the spiritual gosh. Warfare.
That's the spiritual warfare. Yeah. But what I have to tell you is you have to just force yourself. Just do this. Okay, let me just say one Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And then when you're done that, let me say the next Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One. Okay, let me get through one more.
That's good advice.
Now that's really good advice. Because
it's overwhelming to look at a whole rosary.
Yeah. I know. If you have that mentality, if you're really tempted and you just think that one Hail Mary at a time mentality, by the seventh or eighth Hail Mary, you will already start feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
The demon will retreat.
Yep, absolutely. And then, because if you think about it with like 50 Hail Marys, you're like, I'm not doing 50 Hail Marys.
Yeah.
But if you just do like two or three, like it's just going to get cracking, then you're good and that temptation's gone. What are your, I already know mine. What are your favorite mysteries? Either one of you can answer.
Man, that's a great question.
Wait, let me guess your favorite mysteries.
Go ahead, you guess. See if you can say.
Rock, I want to say you're like, because you're like kind of hardcore and emo sometimes. I want to say you're sorrowful all day.
I don't mind the sorrowful. I actually really like the luminous a lot.
I would have never guessed that.
I do.
Way off.
All right. Johnny Paul.
I just love literally like just the light of it. Just the light of it. That's literally why they're called the luminous mysteries. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming either. That's really cool.
Luminous,
Dan, for you, I'm going to guess, like, because I feel like if the rosary could be classified in like genres, and like if there was like a pop genre with a rosary, it'd definitely be the joyful mysteries, and that's you.
Actually, mine's the sorrowful.
Ah, geez, I'm 0-2.
All day, yeah. You don't know us at all. Get out of here. All right, wait, let me guess yours. Right,
you already know mine.
I don't.
Okay.
I have no idea. I am going to guess for yours. I'm going to say sorrowful.
I'm not going to answer. I want to let Rock guess too.
The joyful.
Good try. It's sorrowful.
It's sorrowful?
Yeah, sorrowful okay. is my favorite.
Well, you know, a very holy woman one time, I was going through a really rough time, she said her advice for me was be at peace and every single night meditate on the passion of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're going through a really hard time of suffering, think of Jesus on the cross and just think of it over and over and over again. And it'll like give you solace because it kind of reminds you that he's in there with you, you know, in the dirt, in the mud. I also just feel like as much as I love the glorious mysteries and I love the resurrection and I love the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and the two mysteries that honor Our Lady at the end, which I love, they're probably my second favorite. Man, like the greatest act of love in the world is the sorrowful mysteries. Like yeah. that's when he mm-hmm. bled that in the garden, sweat blood. That's when he got whipped and crowned. And I mean, mm-hmm. I've been teaching my students about the Shroud of Turin, and which is like 99% chance most likely the real burial cloth of Jesus, the new evidence that keeps coming out about it. And the suffering he endured is so sad, but it's so unbelievable, the love that he shows. And if you're ready to suffer like that, no evil can touch you. If you are ready to take on any kind of suffering because you love God and others that much, as the saints did, as Padre Pio and St. Gemma and St. Benedict and all these, and St. Anthony of Egypt, right? John Vianney, all these, Teresa of Avila, all these great mystics that are known for fighting Satan and fighting evil. If you're willing to suffer, then he can't get you at all. There's nothing else he can do. If he can't get you to sin, and he can't get you to be sad because you don't care about your, like, you know what I mean? You've so forgotten about yourself that you're not even really aware of your own emotions too much, you know? And he can't get you with like discouragement through suffering. He actually literally can't touch you. So I think the sorrowful mysteries are our greatest defense against the attacks of evil.
Yeah. And I like them because I had my conversion. I prayed them a little bit. I didn't really know what they meant. And then I was watched the Passion of the Cross for the first time. I mean, the Passion of the Christ. Passion of the Cross.
Me and Rock were looking at you like, yeah. What?
I watched the Passion for the first time. And then I was like halfway through the Passion. We were at Rye's house. And I was like, a light bulb went off, and I was like, this is the rosary. It all dawned on me. Wow. And then I was so happy that like I figured that out, and no one told me. And I was like, oh, this is great.
That's exactly what it is, you know? Padre Pio, we can't forget, called the rosary his weapon. And one last thought that I have before, if you guys want to share any last thoughts yourselves. One last thought that I have is that the rosary, the discipline that comes from trying to pray the rosary every day, is a protection in and of itself. Because like you can tell yourself, oh, I'll pray today, but you might not, you know. But if you actually get the rosary out, you hold it in your hands, you take 15 minutes while you're driving, while you're sitting, whatever you're doing, and you really pray, that is a disciplined prayer life. It's like a, you know, in my mind, I get this image that the rosary is like a chain that goes right up to Our Lady. And like she's got one end, you've got the other end, and like it just kind of hooks you up to her and up to heaven. And if you're holding your hand on that chain throughout your day like a balloon, but it's reaching up to heaven, then like there's only so much the devil can get to you if you're holding that chain of the rosary. So the discipline of praying it every day keeps you connected.
That's a good analogy. And I always like what you say about the rosary. I don't know if this is a word, but it's quantifiable. Is that a word?
I think it is. Thanks. I think that actually
better
is a
word
this
cleanly.
Time. I don't think
you're probably right. Yeah, it's probably just a word we made up when we were kids. Anyway, it's quantifiable. So then you can... You either know if you did it or not. Like, yes, you prayed the rosary, or no, you did not pray the rosary. And it's kind of similar to water. I haven't been buying bottles of water, and I drink less water because of that. Because when I have bottles of water, I'm like, okay, I drank 2 bottles of water.
Yeah, to get some from your fridge just now. Yeah.
Right. But if I drink it out of a cup, I'm like, okay, I had 3 sips. I don't know how much water I drank. Mm-hmm. So with the rosary, it's the same thing. Rosary is like a bottle of water.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way, but fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, you want to close the prayer?
Yeah. Rock, you want to lead us in a prayer to close?
Yeah.
That was the nicest. Yeah. Like translation, no, but yeah. But yeah.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us three together tonight to podcast. We pray that it was informative, educational, very helpful, and inspiring for those, especially that are going through some dark times and going through some spiritual warfare in their own lives. We pray for continued protection from heaven. For all of us and for all of our listeners. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. God bless.